Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Welcome to the Firehouse Magazine Insider for the March issue of Firehouse. I'm Elizabeth Narulis, Managing Editor, and we'll be talking with Tim Zemanski about his fire safety education article, Fire in My Own Home, which appears in the March issue of the magazine. Thank you so much for joining us, Tim. We'd like to ask you a few questions about this article.
Thank you for having me.
So the tables were turned on you, and you had a fire in your own house. Why don't you tell us about that?
We had gotten up that morning, my wife and I. Everything was normal. We left the house. I remember there was some neighbors standing out at the end of the driveway picking up their newspapers, and we waved to them. I was driving her to the office. I was going to drop her off and just come right back to the house. As I was on the way to the office, we passed Station 44, which is the closest station to our house, and they were leaving the station, and my wife says they're going out on another call. I got on the freeway, and then a couple minutes later, the cell phone rang, and I looked at the dial, and it says it was the 911 center. Usually, they just send me pages. If they call me, it's usually something pretty serious. So when I answered the phone, they says, your house is on fire. And I says, well, you obviously got the address wrong or something. And I just left there, and she says, no, your neighbors called it in. They says, your dogs are barking in the house. They hear all the smoke alarms going off, and there's black smoke coming out the rear of your house. So we immediately turned around and headed home. We were in our personal car, and it was rush hour. So it took us a few minutes to get there, but we were still able to get back in time to see black smoke coming out the back of the house. As we were driving to there, you could smell something burning in the air. It was really pungent, and my wife says, what's that terrible smell? And I says, it's our house burning.
Oh my goodness.
We got there, and just after we arrived on scene, they got the fire knocked down. Fortunately, I have a radio in my car, and I was able to talk to the firefighters as they were responding, and we have electronic key code locks on our home, so I gave them the codes over the radio so they wouldn't have to break down the doors or anything, and that expedited them getting into the house. But that's how we got the call.
Oh, my goodness. And what was your first thought when you pulled up on the scene, just about, you know, does this really happen to a firefighter's home?
You know, the whole time that we were driving there, we were trying to figure out what could be on fire. And that morning when I got up early, the jacuzzi in the backyard, a line had broke on it and all the water drained out. And when I got up, I could hear the pump running dry. So I ran out there and shut it off real quick and was worried about it because how long has it been running dry? You know, did it overheat the pump and that? So I called them on the radio and says, I think the fire is going to, they says the smoke kept coming from the rear. It's going to be in the backyard at the jacuzzi. I figured the jacuzzi was on fire, but the firefighters called back and they says, no, there's black smoke coming out the eaves and the vents in the attic. And that's an indicator that you got a pretty serious fire. So my wife and I are asking each other, well, what went on? We always do a walkthrough. We're diligent about that and check everything before we leave to go anywhere. And we were sure that everything was off. So it just kind of puzzled us as we were on the way there. What could have happened?
Right. And so you had to also experience with the insurance companies and the arson investigators and all of that. Has that really impacted you toward knowing how to deal with families when they're affected?
You know, I take care of the families after the fire, and for 44 years I've been helping families after the fire, and it was really a misconception. I thought, you know, the American Red Cross comes and they take care of the people, and you figure the insurance company's going to come and take care of your home, and they're going to put you up someplace, and they're going to call you up in a few weeks and say your house is done and you can move back in. And just from the instant that I got there to the fire, I tried to put my gear on to go inside the house, and the battalion chief that was there says, Not this time. You're a civilian. You have to stand on a sidewalk like everybody else, and you can't go in. So I was there with my wife, and we did things like we got the dogs out of the backyard and put them in the car. And then the insurance company came, and they said this is going to take several hours. And then when he explained all the things that I was going to have to do, it was kind of a shock. I thought that they did all the work, and they told me what the procedure was and then how much paperwork was involved. It was just unbelievable that I went out and got a briefcase and started putting everything in that briefcase from the insurance company, and every day I was in that briefcase. And then the next morning after the fire, our fire investigators came and ruled the fire accidental. The insurance company called and says, we hired a private investigator, which is standard procedure for a firefighter because you know how to make fires burn and you can hide things. And so anytime we have a firefighter, we usually have a private investigator come in. So I've learned about that. That was 4 hours. They talked to me and my wife, but they were more interested in the things that went on inside the home, what could have caused the fire, and all that sort of thing. And in all the work that we had to do, I thought that they hired the contractors, and I had to do that, and I had to arrange for the cleanups. And then I didn't know about the city inspectors coming. I didn't know about deposits. They put us up in a home, but you pay all the deposits. Insurance companies don't pay the deposits.
Wow.
There was just so many things that I didn't know. Until after you go through a fire, you can't appreciate what's involved after you've had a fire.
Yes, I would imagine. I hope I never have to experience that. It must have been so tough for you and your wife. Is everything getting back to normal now?
It is. I think it's going to take longer. You know, we've been in that house for 18 years, and then within 3 days, it was completely bare, and it's... They bring everything back, and you're starting to put things in the house, and it's like you had everything set up a way, you know, some way that it was just perfect for to make life comfortable for yourself. Some of the things we haven't been able to replace yet. The money didn't come the way that we thought it was going to come from the insurance company. It's a long, drawn-out process, and even to this day, it's been 1 year now. My wife, we were just talking in the car last night. She says she's been looking for something, and she says, I've never been able to find it, because when they bring everything back, it's all in boxes, and you're looking for things, and they don't stand there with you and say, this is, you're not going to get this back, and or we're going to keep it, it's destroyed. It's all taken away, and then they send you a letter, and they tell you what was salvageable and what had to be destroyed. And so it's even after a year, we're still trying to figure some things out, and it takes a long time. And that's just something that I never imagined happen to a person after they've had a fire.
You can find Tim's article on page 86 of the March issue of Firehouse Magazine. Look for links to this article and the entire issue of the magazine on the podcast player page. Thank you so much, Tim, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.